welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
We are not James Edwards. We are Bill Rowland and Winston Smith on tonight as co-hosts of the Political Cesspool while James takes a little vacation to a faraway place with his bride. So we're back on the air. It's Winston Smith here with me and Pete Stanton, our correspondent from Washington. So is everybody still here?
I am.
I'm still here.
All right. We're all still here. Great. Well, Pete, to round it up, give us some more news from out your way. What's going on? What you think? And what's next?
Okay, well, as to me, the political cesspool is not just me listening and talking and contributing, but it's also living it, because so much things happen to me, I'm sure you gentlemen, that, you know, there's not enough time in the show every week to let everybody know what's going on. But a couple of days ago, I went to a job fair down near my house because I'm looking for, you know, better employment to pay the bills. And all the employers that were there, had advertisements of who they were and, you know, what field they're in. Like, FBI was there, and a construction company was there, and defense contractors were there. But I swear to God that every advertisement for every prospective employer, for every booth or display they set up, they showed pictures of women and minorities. So instead of at the end of the last century, Irish need not apply, it's white men need not apply. And at the FBI was there, and I picked up a pamphlet about professional staff careers, and they have a bunch of pictures of people of headshots, and on the front cover is a headshot of a man with a turban, and I was thinking, great, you know, more diversity down our throats.
So, well, Pete, I'll give you an example of just what you're talking about. I went to a website; it was actually a hospital, a local hospital here. Was applying for a job for which I'm qualified, and or they were advertising for a job for which I was qualified, and I went through their process, an online process of applying for this job. And at the end of, you'll notice that if you apply for a job online, and this is everybody, if you apply for a job online, when you come to the end of the application, there's a diversity question at the end of every one of these applications, and that I've, at least every one I've taken. Or, you know, especially if it's a big company, and they'll ask you to identify yourself by race and gender preference, usually gender preference. And so most of them, you know, they have all the different races, including more than one race and this kind of thing, and you're supposed to click that and then your gender. Well, one of the options is I prefer not to answer this question, and I always click on that. But on this particular website for this hospital job, I went to the drop-down menu, and every race was listed except white. There was no click point or no button for white. It was all minorities, or I prefer not to answer this question. So naturally, I clicked on that. And my advice to everyone out there who is applying for a job is always click on the I prefer not to answer section, because let them guess. Let them make the decision about what race you are, and let them worry about their statistics. All we're doing is knocking ourselves out of jobs when we click ourselves as white. When we mark ourselves as white, we might as well say that we are unemployable.
Right. And if you look on the – they say – all the employers say this is for statistical purposes. I say bollocks to that, because of all the jobs I'm qualified or – semi-qualified or not even qualified for, I never get a call back.
No, of course not. Because
it's not like I have a fifth grade education. I have a master's degree, and I can't get callbacks.
No, you're not going to get a call back, because here's the problem with this statement they make, that this is for statistical purposes. Why isn't it for statistical purposes after you've been hired? Why do they need it for statistical purposes before you're hired? That doesn't make any sense. Why wouldn't they use it for statistical purposes upon hiring you? And, you know, that would be another option I hope I would have at some point, is saying, I'll answer that question once you hire me. Then you can use it for statistical purposes.
Yeah, just, you know, look at my resume or look at my qualifications. Don't, you know, don't look at me. You know, unless it's a job doing manual labor and, you know, I'm either a paraplegic or I'm missing a leg or an arm. I mean, these employers, they're so, you know, brainwashed that says, oh, we need to, you know, be more diverse. You know, diversity is supposed to be everybody. But but let's face it, it's not.
Well, and another thing is you can always mark the disabled button. It hit the disabled button. If they ask you what your disability is, say, well, I'm a middle-aged white male. That's my disability. I can't seem to get hired because I'm a middle-aged white male.
Well, in my case, I can say I'm nuts.
Well, then try that.
Indeed. Well, Peter, thanks for calling in. We always appreciate you filing a report from there in Washington, D.C.
No problem. Believe me, it's my pleasure.
What's that?
Believe me, it's my pleasure.
Well, don't be a stranger. Call in next time, too. Next time we'll kick James out, and it'll just be Winston, Bill, and Pete.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot, Peter.
No problem.
Folks,
that was
political cesspool, roving reporter and international correspondent and general man of mystery, Peter Scoop Stanton, there for the political cesspool. You can call into the show if you like, and you can voice your opinion on anything Scoop said. You can call in at 866-986-6397. Again, that's 866-986-6397. And we have a caller, Mark, from Mountain View, California. Mark, you're in the political cesspool with Bill Rowland and Winston Smith. How are you this evening, sir?
Hi there. I'm pretty good. I'm going to slosh around a little bit in the cesspool here, if that's okay with you. Because the quickest way of getting stuff across is by a website, I want to tell the audience my website. It's got a lot of stuff that bears on some of the things you've been saying. And that is cosmicpenguin.com. Cosmic, like the universe, penguin, like the bird, .com.
Mm-hmm.
Just run those two words together. So, in the previous hour or the hour before that, one of the things you were talking about was evil homosexuals, how homosexuality is an evil perversion. And, of course, that comes from the Bible, the Old Testament. That's why people in our culture believe that homosexuality is an evil perversion. Now, I'm not talking about people forcing themselves on other people, which, of course, some heterosexuals do, just as well as some homosexuals do. But I'm talking about consenting people and gay people wanting to get married, stuff like that. Now, we believe that stuff is bad, those of us who do believe that, because it says so in the Bible. But there's a lot of actual evil in the Bible. The Bible is a very, in many respects, a very harmful document, and that's what really we mean by evil.
That's a very interesting theory, and it's one that's been advocated by the way, thanks a lot for the call, Mark. Appreciate you calling in.
Yeah.
But, people have been saying that the Bible has been the source of so many ills and so much bloodshed in the world. And I would like to remind those people that during the 20th century, it was atheistic Jewish Bolshevism that resulted in the deaths of untold millions upon millions upon millions of people. The Bible has not been the source of evil. The Bible is the source of good. Even Benjamin Franklin said that if people would just apply primitive Christianity as found in the Bible, then this country would survive and indeed would prosper. But your assertion that the Bible is an evil book is one that I just reject out of hand, and it betrays a complete lack of understanding of what the Bible says. You have approached it completely wrongly. You've approached it trying to find things wrong with it, and it has closed itself to you. I pray for your soul, because you have tampered wrongly with God's word. Bill?
Well, Mark, I mean, I'd like to ask you.
Hi. I think I got cut off, but now I'm back. So
okay.
I heard just a little bit about if Christian principles were applied. But, you know, there's a very good website called evilbible.com.
Okay, wait a second.
And it explains a lot of this.
Hold on a second. Wait a minute, Mark. Now, you know, this is, you're promoting websites here, and that's, you know, if you want to mention them, that's fine. But,
that's okay.
You know, if you're, here's the thing is, you came on the air and you're making assertions about the Bible, and Winston and I are both Christians.
Okay.
And so, you know, if this is an attack on Christianity, we're prepared to defend ourselves.
Well, I think Jesus' ideas were great. I think Jesus was a terrific guy.
Everybody hold that thought. We need to go to our next break for this segment. Folks, stay with us for more of the Political Cesspool. We'll be right back after this message.
The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
Don't let me be misunderstood. Don't let me be misunderstood.
Please don't understand me, baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand.
Jump in the Political Cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
No, it's not James Edwards. It's Bill and it's Winston. And we're back on the air with the Political Cesspool, inviting you to call in. I think we're in the last half hour, coming up on the last half hour now, at 1-866-986-6397. And we have Mark on the line who says the Bible is evil and that it's full of evil and that we're going to try to find out where he's coming from on that. So, Mark, I mean, you've made some statements here about the Bible being evil. Give me some specific examples of the evil Bible.
Okay, well, it's not all evil.
There's some stuff in there.
Just
give me
an
example. Where is the Bible evil?
Excuse me?
We don't have much time. You need to give me some examples of what's evil in the Bible.
Okay, well, I just didn't want to be misrepresented there. It's not all evil.
No, I said give me an example
of
what's evil in the Bible. What is evil in the Bible? I'm wanting an example.
Okay, the main thing that's evil about the Bible is the God that it says, made the earth, made the universe, and everything, okay? Jehovah, Yahweh, whatever you call it. It's the same in the Jewish religion, the so-called Christian religion, which in most cases isn't the teachings of Jesus, and the Islamic religion, where this deity is called Allah, okay?
Okay, that's pointless. What's evil about the Bible? What's evil about Jehovah?
Okay, what's evil about Jehovah, as you people can see if they look at evilbible.com, is that Jehovah demands that everybody worship him. He tells his worshipers to murder everybody who doesn't worship him.
Where does it say that in the Bible?
Oh, just look at the website there. I'm not an expert.
You tell me.
So.
You came on the line and said that there was evil. There was evil in the Bible.
Oh, look,
give me
don't
a
do this.
Specific
look,
example.
The information is all up there. This is what the web is good for.
This is not the web. You're on a talk
from
show.
One URL,
and you came on
okay?
making accusations, and you're not willing to back them up. We're not interested. We're interested in your call.
Oh,
and
you
you're
shall
not
have no other gods
us.
Before me. Okay.
Okay. All right. Listen. If I'm
that's
the father
the
of four
right?
children, and I say I'm your father. You should obey me because I'm raising you. Why would I say, oh, by the way, you should also obey everybody else's father?
Well, I can tell you, for example,
of how they're
the book
raising
of
their
Numbers,
children.
Okay? In the book of Numbers, there is a place there in the Old Testament where God supposedly tells Moses to get together an army of 2,000 men from each of the, I guess it's what, 13 tribes or something, and murder all the Midianites. Now, the Midianites in that section of the Bible, the book of Numbers, are not recorded as having done anything wrong. But they were fraternizing, their kids were fraternizing with the Israelite kids. And so the Jewish religion, which is the basis of the so-called Christian religion, most of the so-called Christian religions,
So you're blaming
God's
the Jews.
Instructions
so
to
the
Moses.
Jews, the, all right, you're saying the Jews killed the Midianites for no reason.
They killed them on instructions from God.
But
to
it was
Moses.
The Jews. It was the Jews, right?
Well, okay. What about all the Christians? What about
the Catholic Church and the other so-called Christian churches
that murdered all those people in the Inquisition?
Okay, where does the Bible say to do that? Where does the New Testament tell us to go and murder people in the
Inquisition? They were following what they considered to be the Bible, weren't they?
No, people in power in the church carried out the Inquisition, and they did so in many cases wrongly. But that's not in the New Testament.
There's no law in the New Testament
that tells anybody to murder anybody. It condemns murder of all kinds.
Unfortunately, Jesus says that he's the son of the Jehovah in the Old Testament.
Yes, that's true. But where in the New Testament does Jesus say to go and murder people?
In the Old Testament, there are all these recountings of where Jehovah told his followers to murder people.
And who were his followers again?
Hey!
Are you telling me that the Jews murdered people for no reason? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm telling you that the Jews murdered people, some of them, because their leaders came up with this bogus idea of Jehovah, who served as the most powerful role model, more than the deity in your religion.
So, but it was the Jews, right?
Oh, yeah, right, the evil Jews, sure. Okay.
Well, that's what you said. You said that he ordered the Jews. Well, if there is no Jehovah and the Jews created this Jehovah for their own purposes, then who's the evil? Who's evil here?
Everybody, look.
No, Jehovah was the God of Israel. You want to let me answer or not? If you're saying that the Israelites created Jehovah, then you're saying the Israelites are evil.
You want to let me answer or not? You going to let me answer?
I'm waiting for your answer. I just asked you a question.
Okay, fine. Okay, here I'm going to answer. Yes, some Jews are evil. Zionists are evil, just like some Christians are evil. Most of the Nazis called themselves Christians, didn't they?
No, they didn't. No, actually,
the Nazis didn't call
themselves Christians. They were anti-Christian, and they put Christians in concentration camps, one being Pastor Niemöller, who was one of the early opponents of Hitler. It was actually the church that opposed Hitler, and some concentration camps had more Christians than Jews or anybody else.
Oh, the Catholic Church went along with Hitler.
No, the church did not go along with Hitler. The church never collectively supported Hitler. That's wrong. And in fact, the main Nazi, the one who was really controlled Nazi ideology, Heinrich Himmler, declared himself a pagan. And Goebbels was a pagan and an atheist. And
Goering was an atheist. That's true, the leadership declared themselves non-Christian, but all the followers, all the people that kidnapped people and herded them into concentration camps and starved them and murdered them, they were just regular Christians, according to them.
That's pathologically untrue. That is pathologically untrue. You don't know that, and you couldn't name me one concentration camp
guard, wasn't Germany a Christian country?
Or one leader of the SS who said, hey, I'm a Christian, that's why I'm doing this.
What about all the followers of the SS?
The SS was specifically a pagan organization, because it was run by Heinrich Himmler, and Heinrich Himmler was trying to create a new pagan Germany. That's what he was trying to do. All the symbols and rituals
of the SS were pagan rituals and symbols. You're telling me that the people in the German army that went and slaughtered people in Poland and Czechoslovakia and all kinds of other places, that they were all pagans and they had given up their Christian religion?
No, but many of the people who were trying to slaughter those German soldiers were, mainly the communists. And they were fighting the Soviet Union mainly in 1941 through 45. And they were fighting against mainly atheists and communists and the people who had set up tyrannies in the Soviet Union. They were atheists.
The Soviet Union did not attack Germany. Germany attacked the Soviet Union.
The Soviet Union, however, did attack Poland along with Germany and took over half of Poland. And the Germans did go to war with the Soviet Union, and one Russian general asserts that they did so because the Soviet Union was preparing to attack the West, and that's a Russian general. The book is called
Icebreaker. I suggest you read it. As long as you're making accusations
against Christians, why don't you get yourself caught up on history?
Hey, look, one guy said that. It didn't happen. Germany invaded the USSR.
The USSR, the units of the USSR that the Germans attacked and that they destroyed were prepared for offensive action.
They were not prepared for defense. In fact, the charges had been removed
from bridges that they would have blown in the event that they were evaded, because their units, virtually all of them, were organized around an offensive, and the Germans received information to that effect. But if you want to talk the war, believe me, I'll blow you out of water on that fella. I've studied for 20 years. But in any case, let's talk about the Bible. Let's get back to the Bible and Christianity. I'll tell you one German who was a Christian and an outspoken Christian, and that was Count von Stauffenberg. Do you know who Count von Stauffenberg was? Do you know?
No, but I do
Mark,
know...
Mark, why don't you answer my question? Do you know who Count von Stauffenberg was? He was an outspoken German Christian. Do you know what he did?
Did he try to assassinate Hitler?
Bingo.
Very good.
So, okay, now, so all these anti-Nazi, all these Nazis out here who are so evil, the one man who tries to assassinate Hitler was
a
German Christian.
To interrupt. We're coming to our next break. So, Bill, hold that thought. Mark, thank you for the call. It's been most enlightening. And, folks, stay with us.
I'll be glad to hang on longer if there's no other calls.
Folks, stay with us for the next hour, and Bill and I will dissect Mark's insanity here and straighten you out. Stay with us, folks.
Guys. We'll be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. We gotta get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do.
And we're back on the air. Winston Smith, Bill Rowland, we're rounding up the last hour of the political cesspool. We're so glad you're listening to us, and we're so glad you're joining us tonight. And we have Mark with us on the air. We're going to give him about 5 minutes here, but he says that the Jehovah God of the Bible is evil and created by the Jews. So, Mark, go ahead now. Here's my point. Let me give this to you. Being evil when, in fact, the greatest murderers of the world, Joseph Stalin, Mao Zedong, Adolf Hitler, Benito Mussolini, the great dictators of the 20th century were all atheists, anti-Christian, not Christian. And it's simply a falsehood to say that the Nazi regime that controlled Germany was full of Christians. And that they were, you know, committing these atrocious acts, when the fact is that the Soviet Union also had soldiers who may have been Christians that were committing murders and atrocious acts. So, I mean, you need to get to the point here as to why the Jehovah of the Bible is evil. You know, you're talking in the terms of Moses and the Exodus and Numbers about events that were 3,000 years ago. And clearly, there could have been circumstances involved in which the Israelites were compelled to kill people on a mass scale.
They were not compelled to kill the Midianites. And, okay, please don't misrepresent me. I did not say the Jews created Jehovah or the Bible. I said...
Then who did?
Who did? Hold on. No, I didn't. I said some
No, I didn't.
Few
it's not an answer. I said, who did
you stop
create
interrupting
the Bible
me
and
so
Jehovah?
I can talk?
Who created the Bible and Jehovah?
You want to stop interrupting me so I can talk?
If you'll give me an answer.
Well, I'm trying to if you don't interrupt me.
Okay.
Some few Jews created the idea of Jehovah and created the Old Testament, the Torah, okay? Some few Jews, okay? Like some few Christians, you know, took over, you know, with the help of the United States military, took over and destroyed democracy in about 50 different countries just since World War II.
That has nothing to do with the Bible. You're talking. You came on this show and said that you mentioned a website about the evil Bible.
Yes, sir.
And then you mentioned that Jehovah was an evil God that was created by men. And I ask you specifically, who created him? And you said a few Jews. Well,
yes.
There weren't anything but a few Jews at that time in the world.
There were tens of thousands of them. They had, these tribes that each had a few thousand of them at least, But it was only a few leaders that came up with this idea to give themselves power.
Okay, what leaders were that? Who are you talking about? What leaders came up with it?
Well, Moses was one, I guess.
There was Abraham
before
Moses.
He claimed to get messages from God and convey them to the people.
And how did they come up with this? Abraham was about probably, I think, 1,200 years away from Moses. How did he come up with this idea, and then Moses just picked it up from how? How did get transmitted over so many generations of these people you don't want to call Jews, and how did it get instituted, you know, over so long a period of time? Because, you know, from Abraham to Jesus, you're talking about a couple of millennia.
Yes.
of these conspiracy, obviously.
But back in those days, culture was just religion. It was pretty much that was it. And so they passed it down, and they had their, you know, verbally, and they had their scrolls and stuff. I'm not saying Abraham and Moses weren't Jews. Yeah, they were Jews, but
and they were
when
evil.
You say the Jews did something, which you folks say on
well,
your website
well, who was passing it down
place,
from Abraham to Moses?
How did it get passed down?
For who was doing it?
Well, you know, Abraham told somebody, and somebody else
but
told
who was
somebody,
somebody
else, and so
he
forth,
didn't
and
just tell
ended up
somebody.
Being told
who
to Moses.
Did he tell? Who,
it's called
who
the
was
oral
passing
tradition.
It down over all these generations?
Called the oral tradition, and they also
between
had
who?
Scrolls, right?
Between
the
who?
Torah is a scroll.
So
they
it
wrote
it
on,
tradition.
You know,
it was an oral tradition
of,
where and by who? Who was getting
okay.
this tradition and
oh,
who was
look,
passing
this is,
it down?
This is bogus because, I mean, it did get passed down somehow, didn't it?
Well, who was doing it?
Hey, read the Old Testament. It's in
no,
there.
No, no. You tell me. You came,
know,
I'm not going to go to the Old Testament because you don't want to answer
else.
The question because the answer is the Hebrews. That's who was doing it. That's who was passing it
no,
down.
No, it wasn't
and if you infer
the
that the Bible is evil and
no,
it was,
wasn't
it was
all
a handed down
Hebrews,
document
it was some
over
of
generations of the same people, then you have to imply that those people must have been evil and had evil intentions. Because you're talking
no.
about a very long span of
look,
time
people do
between
what they're
Abraham
told,
and Moses.
Okay? People do what they're told. Just like you believe that gay people are evil because you've been told that.
No, no, that's wrong. You're dead wrong. I know gay people are evil because I've had experience with homosexuals, and I know what their appetites are, and I know what their hidden agenda is. I learned about homosexuals through contact and experience. That's how I learned about homosexuals.
Well, I've met homosexuals, too, and they're very nice people.
Okay, that's great. Is that what does that have to do with being evil or not? You know, one of the nicest guys in the world was John Wayne Gacy by everybody that knew him. So he was a great guy.
Go
but
ahead.
He was a homosexual pedophile, right?
Well,
Bill,
the
let's,
ones,
go ahead and,
homosexuals
let's go ahead and
that I met
nice
were not pedophiles. They were just ordinary nice people.
Okay, Mark, we've had enough time with you. We've been running in circles long enough. Okay, we got another caller.
Bill, you did a great job exposing him for exactly what he is,
well,
and we could discuss him for a
you know,
long time.
He comes on the air here, and you know he's talking about the evil Jehovah, but he didn't want to say who's responsible for this evil. You know, it's just everybody, I guess. You know,
he comes on wanting to talk about the Bible being evil, which he claims to have some expertise about, but then he says the fourth commandment is "Thou shalt have no other gods before me," and the fourth commandment is actually. Has to do with the Sabbath day, and he talks about the 13 tribes of Israel, and there were 12. But we'll talk about him some more. Right now, we have Tom from Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Tom, you're on the political cesspool with Winston Smith and Bill Rowland. How are you this evening, sir?
I'm fine, thank you. I wanted to say one thing. First of all, I'm not going to argue theology. I am a Christian, and when my soul separates from my physical body, I hope that Jesus Christ will save my soul. That's my only hope. Now, I want to make a couple statements here. From what I have read, the Treaty of Versailles was the basic cause of World War II.
No doubt.
It separated Germany and gave part of it to Poland. And why Germany attacked West Prussia was because Poland would not give the Germans a quarter to the province called West Prussia. Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of Germans that were being shot, and Hitler put a stop to it. Now, the question that I learned from Pat Buchanan in his book, A Republic, Not an Empire,
mm-hmm.
Russia attacked Poland from the east
That's
side
correct, yeah.
going west, and Germany attacked only the part, they first attacked the part that was their original West Prussia. The question is that Buchanan said is we all know this, but how come England and France didn't declare war on Russia like they did Germany? And
that's a very good question, and I'm glad you brought that up.
That's the one thing that I wanted to clear up, and I never knew that until I saw it in Buchanan's book.
Mm-hmm.
And then it opens up a whole new perspective on things. But, you know, I don't know whether what Hitler was, I believe I did read that the Pope endorsed Hitler. I'm not saying the rest of the Christian world did, but I do believe that I read that, and I can't quote the source in that right now. And as far as the rest of them, yeah, they were like, what do you call that, Teutonic Himmler and what was the other one that you said? Himmler and
Goebbels.
Goebbels. They want, yeah, particularly
they
Himmler wanted to create Teutonic Knight type of organization.
Right.
Yes.
So I just wanted to clear that up, and you did a very good job of exposing the guy of what he really is. He's creating confusion when there is no need. I'm not a theologian. I only go by the basics. There are things that none of us can explain that are written or why they were written, and I do believe that there were some changes in there. For example, it says, thou shalt not kill. What the original reading is, thou shalt not commit murder.
That's right.
Well, that's a far cry from saying the Bible is evil.
Well, no, it's not evil. It's only his interpretation might be evil.
Yeah,
but
exactly. Well, we agree that what you're saying is just fine. I agree with that. That is a fact. It said thou shalt not commit murder. But what Mark was saying was that the Bible is holy and intrinsically an evil document. By the way, Tom, thank you for the call. We're about to go to our next break, and we do want to thank you for calling. It's a good call.
All right.
But Mark was here trying to accuse the Bible of being an intrinsically evil document, and this is a guy who has no idea what the Bible says. And all he could do was point to a website, and he could not quote anything from the website. He just wanted people to go to the website, and he had none of the facts at his fingertips, and that's hard to do because there are no facts to support his assertions. Folks, stay with us.
Guys, we'll be back right after these messages.
We gotta get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we gotta get out of this place.
Girl, there's a better life.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, welcome back to the political cesspool, my friends. Bill, are you there?
I'm here.
I thought you were going to bring us in.
No, I was waiting for you to do it, but that's okay. We managed to get in, you know. We do it every time. We managed to get through the gate, so that's amazing.
Yeah, we do. Well, folks, you're listening to the last segment of the Political Cesspool for this broadcast. We're very pleased that you have joined us. We thank all of our callers, including ones who need to indulge in some Metamucil or at least stop imbibing in certain hallucinogenic drugs. Bill, you wanted to amplify some of the statements made by Tom from Lancaster, and then we have another caller. We have Craig who called us last week. But Bill, what did you want to say about Tom's?
Very quickly, I just wanted to say that what he says, what the caller from Pennsylvania said about the Allies, France and England, ignoring the aggression by Russia into Poland while declaring war on Germany is absolutely right. But during the period of the war that was called the Phony War, which was the period between the fall of Poland and the invasion of France by the Germans, which was about a six-month period, Stalin was committing aggression against Finland and some of the Baltic countries. That is, he had opened up a war against Finland. And the Western powers didn't declare war on the Soviet Union then, even though some of them had vowed to protect Finland. And mm-hmm. So at that time, both Germany and the Western powers, the Allied powers, France and England, were sending weapons to Finland for their defense. So it was a strange point in history when the Germans and the Italians were sending weapons to Finland at the same time that the French and the English were also sending weapons so that this country could defend themselves against the Soviet Union. But the Soviet Union was allowed to conduct unprovoked aggression without any serious consequences, whereas Germany, of course, was forced into a war. You know, this is not to justify Hitler's actions, but it is to say, you know, there are a lot of lapses in history that people should understand and learn about before making blanket judgments about, you know, all historical events. But anyway, we've got a caller, Craig.
Yeah, Craig, I believe it's Craig Langley from who I interviewed last week. Craig, are you there?
Yes, I am, right here.
Well, what a pleasure this is.
Huh?
What a pleasure this is to hear from you again.
Oh, thank you. I've been listening to you guys all night, It's a good show. I just want to make a couple comments. First of all, I am a Catholic, and I just want to clarify the last call from Pennsylvania. I mean, it's a good point about invading Poland, Soviet Union. But he brought the idea, he read that the Pope supported Hitler. He actually did not. The Pope at the time, Himmler, called him the Catholic Church and the Pope the greatest threat to the Third Reich. And I also want to make a point, it's anecdotal, but three of the most famous Jews of the time, when the Pope died, I'm just having a brain fart of his name right now, Goldmeier lamented his death. The famous Jewish composer Leonard Bernstein, he stopped the concert he was giving for a minute for a moment of silence to remember the Pope from the war. And also Albert Einstein, he said that he had been raised to hate the Catholic Church, but the Pope's actions during World War II totally changed how he felt about the Church, and he embraced it because of the Pope's actions during the war. So that's a little information I want to give to that. But also a caller earlier said that he's a little disenfranchised with what's going on politically. I believe Pete Sands said the same thing. I think this is like an internal criticism of the movement, wider pro-white movement. There's many names for it. But the caller, Mark, that's not just our enemy. There's many from who support us on our side believe the same thing. And so it's no wonder the American people don't embrace us. I was wondering if you guys had a comment on that.
Well, Mark Potok, first of all, the Southern Poverty Law Center is nothing but a racket. It's a fundraising racket, and they raise money through fear-mongering and hate-mongering. And this is how they stay in business. And, you know, there have been newspapers that have exposed the actions of the Southern Poverty Law Center, one being the Baltimore Sun in a fairly recent article I think it was an editorial on the Southern Poverty Law Center and about their racketeering for donations through fear and hate and so forth. And then a much older article that was done in Montgomery, Alabama, in the Montgomery Advertiser, which thoroughly exposed their fundraising operation. But, you know, the media may be starting to catch on that this is sort of a medicine show that the Southern Poverty Law Center puts on. And, of course, everything they say, that everything I've heard them say has been filled with distortions, half-truths, omissions. When they talk about an increase in hate crime, for instance, they want people to think that means whites are out there with swastikas and clubs and in black T-shirts beating up poor minorities, when in fact the increase of hate crime is because of Hispanic gangs attacking blacks and other Hispanics. And yet in the statistics, they are categorized as white. When they're white when they're committing hate crimes, however, they're Hispanic when they're victims of hate crimes. You see, it's a double standard. And so that's one of the problems. Now, as far as fundraising on the right goes and getting donations from people, well, I can tell you this, that no group on the right has one-tenth of the funds available to the Southern Poverty Law Center or to the Anti-Defamation League or to the NAACP. There is no right-wing organization that has any sort of resources that these groups had. If we did have those resources, we would be much more effective in getting our message out.
That's all true, but I was wondering if you guys, Winston, or you guys had any comments on the idea of people from our side on the right to espouse not only what Potok says, but what the caller earlier said about these neo-pagans, if you will, whatever you want to call them.
I don't think I understand your question. Up on me.
Oh, I'm sorry. I've gone through circles, and the caller earlier is calling the Bible evil. That's also many people on our side believe that too, on the pro-life side.
Oh, I see, yeah. They say they're on our side. I have studied some of the comments by people who say they're racialists and they're pagans and that they're atheists and they're racialists. Well, you know, there's always that spectrum in a belief system. But what my point is, and what a friend of mine made a very good point, a young man who at the time was in college, he said, you know, these pagan movements and the Nazis, the pagans, and the atheists, no matter what their beliefs, they're nihilists. They are self-destructive in the end. And the left has many of these same types of people. They're nihilists. They believe in that ultimately everything leads to destruction. And, you know, the Christian perspective on race is that race is a God-made phenomenon. It's not a man-made phenomenon. And that if we truly believe in God, we have to truly believe in the divisions that he created and in the races and in the order of nature that he created. And to go against that is to go against God's design. So it's much easier for us. Our view is positive and theirs is negative. And I think that's, you know, I try to sum up what you're seeing here. And I don't think we should ever support any group or organization or a movement that leads to a negative conclusion. And the neo-Nazis and the pagans and the atheists, in the end, they are, you know, they believe whatever they believe in is not going to lead to a productive, positive result. It's negativism. So, you know, that's my stand on it.
Thank you. Just wondering about that. And I just wanted to say that I was looking up the Pope that was mentioned earlier was Pope Pius VII, or the 12th, excuse me. So, all right. Kind of a strange call, but have a good night, guys. You're doing a great job.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks a lot, Craig. Well, Bill, that was a good call.
That was a great call. Yeah,
they've all been good calls, actually.
They've been good calls. They've been very entertaining, and this is why our audience listens to us, is that we're not afraid to take on people who disagree with us, and we have callers who bring us intelligent comments and intelligent viewpoints.
It would be good to have somebody on who disagreed with us on a more intelligent basis than what Mark presented. That was just tedious. I mean, it was fun to watch him chase his tail. It was fun to watch him try to dig himself out of a hole that he kept digging himself into. But after a while, there was just nothing there. And you, Bill, you exposed him for what he was. And after a while, he just became tedious.
Well, most atheists are either pseudo-intellectuals or, you know, their hatred of God overcomes their sensibilities. And, you know, this is how I know that there truly is a God, is because inevitably the anti-God people work themselves up into a devil fury. You know, there was a reporter after the death of one of the Soviet leaders during the Reagan era who went to and covered the funeral of I think it was Andropov. And as he was covering this funeral and the procession and all the pomp and circumstance, he says, I knew from watching an atheist funeral that there truly must be a God because of the absence of spirit there. You know, that the absence of any sort of soul.
Bill, we're coming to the end of the show here, so we have to say goodbye.
Well, we don't have to, but we'd better, or people are going to think we're rude.
Yeah.
Good night, everybody.
Thanks for joining us,
folks. Thanks for joining us tonight in the Political Cesspool. To learn more about us or to make a donation to keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.